No, I'm just kidding. This has been a wonderful week, a week full of a lot of blessings, a lot of challenges, a lot of new territory for our family. But I'll tell you something that isn't new is the love and compassion we feel from our church family. About the time church would have been ending here last week, we were actually touching down in Dallas on the plane, and I turned my phone on, and I got just all kinds of texts from people here. And I'll tell you what, we really felt your prayers through the whole process, and we're very grateful for all the support, the prayers, the messages, the texts, the calls, the food. It has been very good, so we really appreciate that. So thank you guys very much for everything, and I'm sure some of you have met Amelia. A lot of you will get to meet her here really soon. So keep us in your prayers. We've got a lot going on. So, and in addition to all the family stuff, I also have a corneal abrasion in my left eye. So that's why I'm wearing glasses today. So my depth perception's off just a little bit. So forgive me if we stumble around here a little bit. We all need something to hope in, don't we? We got to have something to place our hope in. We've been talking this summer about hope. That's been our sermon series. We got to have something that inspires faith and confidence. And hope and faith are linked very closely together. Your actions will always follow your beliefs. And when it comes to our hope, we have to decide if we're going to believe in the things we hope for. What you believe, your hope, that's going to direct the outcome of your life. That's going to direct the steps that you take each day. But when you think of the whole concept of God, sometimes our minds can be overwhelmed, can't they? Sometimes it's hard for us to understand everything. And that's okay. It happened first on November 16th, 1952. Charlie Brown explains to Lucy, "All you have to do is hold this football, and I'm going to come and kick it." Right? Well, we know what happens. As Charlie Brown runs to kick the football, Lucy pulls it away, and he falls to the ground. And he says, What did you do that for? "I was afraid your shoes might be dirty, Charlie Brown. And I don't want anyone with dirty shoes kicking my football." "You could have killed me, Lucy. Don't ever do that again," he says. "Now this time, hold it tight, real tight." So Lucy does. In fact, she holds it so tight that when Charlie Brown comes to run and kick it again, the ball doesn't move and he falls on his back. He says, "I'm just going to lie here the rest of the day." Lucy would do some variant of this football trick every year from 1952 until 1999. A lot of this would be in the cartoons we see on the holidays, right? When he drew the comic strip for the last time, Charles Schulz said, "You know, it's kind of sad, but I have come to the realization that Charlie Brown will never successfully kick this football." He says, "If I let him kick it, it would do a great disservice to his character." Why would it do a great disservice to Charlie Brown's character if he finally got to kick the football? Well, depending on your perspective, we learn from Charlie Brown, either he's someone who refuses to learn from the past, or he is someone that has tremendous hope in the future. As Christians, we want to be people who have tremendous hope in the future. Amen? We want to be people that have faith in the future. Charlie Brown doesn't close in on himself. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on Lucy. He has hope in the future. He has hope that one day he'll successfully kick this football. He believes in this hope, and that's what kept him doing it, trying it time after time from 1952 to 1999. In Hebrews 11, we have a passage of scripture that's commonly called the Hall of Faith. And this chapter talks about saints from the Old Testament. It tells us about how their faithfulness in God led them to do amazing things. What you believe or where you place your hope, that's going to determine your actions. That's going to determine the decisions that you make. Do you live like you have hope in God? Do you live every day like you have hope in a Savior who loves you and has died for you? I want us to look at Hebrews 11, the first four verses. The Hebrew writer says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is now dead. Hebrews 11:1 is commonly called the definition of faith. Have y'all heard that? I don't think it really tells us so much about what faith is as much as it tells us about what faith does. Faith can be defined as complete trust in God's word because there is tremendous evidence to prove it. Do you believe that this morning? Do we have trust in God's word because there's evidence to prove it? Sure we do. Real hope and real faith have a relationship with our hearts and our souls and our minds. And we read of a couple of ways that faith is expressed in Hebrews 1. First, we see it's the assurance of things hoped for. Eyesight, when we have good eyesight, right? Eyesight tells us or produces a conviction about physical objects. I can look at something and I'm convicted because I know what it is, right? I can tell. Faith produces the same thing for us when it comes to spiritual objects or spiritual matters. Faith produces an assurance that the things we hope for are actually going to happen, right? It doesn't do any good to just hope for things that can't happen, but faith gives us the assurance that the things we hope for will happen. How do you prove? I'm going to take you all back to Legal 101 or Property Law 101. How do you prove that you own your car? You have a title, right? That title is evidence that you own your car. How do you prove that you own real property, your house, your land? A deed. The deed is tangible evidence that you own the property. The word assurance in Hebrews 11 verse 1 is the same word as a deed or a title. Okay? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the foundation of all that Christianity involves. When we miss that, we miss the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Faithfulness is what we build our lives on. And our faith, it is the deed to God's promises. The faith, the hope we have is the title to the promises that God gives us. Does that give you comfort this morning? If you have the deed to your house, guess what? Ain't nobody going to take that from you. There's a few exceptions to that. That's why I have a job. But if you have a title to your car, more likely than not, no one's going to take that from you. But this assurance that we have in the things we hope for, these promises from God, can never be taken from us. It's a sure thing. And when I learn that that word is translated from the same word that we get a deed and a title, that gives me comfort. That gives me hope. That gives me confidence in the things God tells us. The promises of heaven. The promises of eternal life. Faith is living in a hope that gives us absolute assurance that what God says is right. Faith is not just wishful thinking, is it? You know, real hope can't be based on wishful thinking. Wishful thinking doesn't possess assurance. As we look through Hebrews chapter 11, and when you go home today, read that. I'm not going to read it all, but take time and read that today. As you read about the people in Hebrews chapter 11, they were mentioned not because they were wishful thinking, but they were mentioned because they had a hope and a faith based on this assurance. Revelation 2:10 tells us, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer." Anybody ever suffer? All the time, right? And if we're not suffering, we know people who are. And if we're not suffering today, we might be suffering tomorrow. It's part of life. Revelation 2:10, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer a persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Times of difficulty come, church, and they will. Maybe they're here right now for you. When that happens, true faith, based in the things hoped for, That will help us stay on the right track with God. That will help draw us closer to Him. Many times when we're suffering is when we can feel the closest to God, right? It's when we draw nearer to Him than maybe any time we ever have. Never lose that. Always have that hope and that faith in mind. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And Hebrews 11:1 also tells us it is the conviction of things not seen. Back to law class, what's a conviction? What's conviction? Well, conviction is defined as a belief or an opinion that is firmly held. A belief or an opinion that is firmly held. And for a conviction to happen, there has to be strong evidence, right? In the civil side of things, it has to be a preponderance of the evidence, more likely than not. On the criminal side of things, it has to be beyond a what? Reasonable doubt. For there to be a conviction, there has to be strong evidence. And for the heart and soul of a person to change, there has to be a conviction about who Jesus is and what He has done. And when we have that conviction, it'll lead us to follow Jesus. It'll lead us to be obedient to God. What kept these saints in the Old Testament following God? Have you thought about that? It was their conviction in things they hadn't seen. The things not seen are the promises of God on where their hope was built. It's where our hope is built as well. We learn from Hebrews 11 that faith pleases God, doesn't it? Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:2 tells us this is what the ancients were commended for. This, meaning faith. They're an example of what pleases God. This commendation spoken of is that they were immortalized in Scripture. Have you thought about that? The people who did things thousands of years earlier, we're still reading about them today. Why? Because of their faith. Think they had any idea we'd still be reading about them today and learning from them every single day and preaching about them today? No. We're told they were immortalized in Scripture because of their faith. Their faithfulness was the key to receiving God's approval. Faithfulness will always result in God's approval. You believe that? Faithfulness will always result in God's approval every time. When we read through Hebrews 11, the people were commended by God because they finished the course. They completed the race. They displayed their faithfulness by what they did. Not by empty words, not by saying they believed, but by their actions. Actions based on this conviction of the assurance of the hope they had. You know, each person mentioned, from Moses to Abraham to Rahab, all of them, they did what they did because they were being faithful to God. And their faith is on display for us in Scripture to encourage us and to remind us that being faithful is what pleases God. Not perfection, not checking a box, not showing up for this or that. Those are great. Those things please God. But God, we're told here, was pleased by their faithfulness. God has never called us to perfection, has He? He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to be obedient. We're going to mess up, church. We're going to fail. We're going to sin. But the question is, will we be faithful to God with our very best efforts? That's what pleases Him. Hebrews 11:6, what Jared read for us. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Even though these people who were full of conviction pleased God, they still weren't without struggles, were they? They struggled big time. We read of their struggles in the Old Testament, and we struggle too. When you struggle, never believe Satan's lies that all hope is lost. You know, that's Satan's game. That's what he wants to do. I believe one of his greatest tools that he uses against us is getting us to give up our hope or getting us to give up our faith. We can't have our faith or our hope taken from us. It's something we choose to give up. And Satan does his best to lead us to that. When that happens, rely on God's grace. Remember His promises. Remember the assurance, the title, the deed you have to what God has promised you. And look to Him. And come to him. Repent and confess. You know, we're told in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Faithfulness, having hope, that pleases God. Do we believe that? We also see in Hebrews 11 an example or an illustration of faith. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. You know, one of the areas where our faith is on display is our trust in God's word. Our trust in God's word that by his words, he created the universe. You think much about that? Do you let that mull around in your mind from time to time? It's quite amazing when you do. Genesis 1:1, of course, tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Creation shouts out that there's an intelligent design, not accident, right? We know that. Verse 4 talks about us understanding the universe was created by the word of God. And it tells us that because we're determined to be faithful, we believe this. We choose to believe what God says. Psalm 33:6 tells us, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Genesis gets attacked a lot because it's the foundation on which everything else is built, right? That God created us and created everything. But the Hebrew reminds us, God didn't use spare parts or materials from somewhere else to create what we experience, right? He didn't go to a galaxy far, far away to get what they had left over and come back and make this earth. But we're told he made out of things that were not yet visible. Wow. If that's not someone worthy of our hope, I don't know what is. If that's not someone worthy of our faith, then what can be? A God who created everything we have around us by speaking it into existence. Is that someone worthy of your faith and hope? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, make sure you're with me here. We also see in Hebrews 11 that faith results in action. Hebrews 11:4 tells us about another story we read in Genesis. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Once again, we see the statement, by faith. It means that Abel was determined to be faithful. And because he was determined to be faithful and pleasing to God, he offered up a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. His offering was more acceptable because it was offered in faith or by faith. 1 John 3:12 says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Because of his offering to God, Abel was pronounced faithful by God or righteous by God. His hope, Abel's hope, was demonstrated by his offering. Abel's faith was demonstrated by his offering. How do you demonstrate your faith in God? Here's some pictures of some folks who did that just yesterday. Will and Michael talked about it already. How do we demonstrate our faith in God? By serving others, right? By helping them, by helping the needy, by being there for the less fortunate, by being a listening ear to someone who's struggling, by serving, putting others' needs above our own, and so many other ways. We have opportunities every single day to demonstrate our faith in God, to demonstrate our hope in God. I'm proud of these guys and gals for what they did yesterday. If I'd had some sleep the night before, I'd have been with them. But those are the things that make an impact, church. Those are the things that show the world Jesus Christ. And that's what it's about. Sure, filling their bellies yesterday was important and essential. But you know what's more important? Filling their minds and their hearts with the fact that these folks helped them because they belong to Jesus. These folks helped them because they love God. These folks helped them and are there for them and gave up their Saturday mornings for them because they wanted to make a difference so that God could be glorified. How am I demonstrating my faith and my hope in God? You know, it can be so easy to get caught up in this world and just do the day-to-day stuff that it requires of us. But God wants us to have lives much more fulfilling than that. He wants to give us hope. God looked at Abel's heart. He didn't just look at the gift. Is God pleased by our faith and our hope when he looks at our hearts? That's the question. That's the challenge this week. Is God pleased by our faith and our hope when he looks at our hearts? Do we live each day like we have hope in God? Hope is such an important part of the peaceful life God wants to give you. Because you know what? That peace is still available when this world's chaotic. And that peace is still there, no matter what Satan tries to do. You know, he wants to destroy our hope. He wants to drag us down. He wants us to give up our hope. But God wants to give us hope and a future. We talked about that in Jeremiah last time. God wants to give you hope and a future. But we've got to be willing to let him. You know, when we look at the topic of hope, we see that hope, our hope in God, is the basis of what we do or don't do for him. Our faith is built on hope. Our actions, the way we live our lives, that reflects where our hope is placed and where our faith is located. We don't work our way to heaven. We can't do enough good things to get in God's good graces because he loves us anyway, right? We can never work our way to heaven. But because of the gratitude we have for the sacrifice he made and the gratitude we have for the lives he's given us to live, we serve, and we do good things. Do we live like we have faith in God? That's the question. You know, there was a drought that had gone on for a long time in a small farming community. And obviously a drought in a farming community is a very tough situation. The crops need rain to grow. If only their village had been West Virginia, right? Rain was important to keep the crops growing. And if the crops didn't grow, then the economy of this village was just going to be destroyed in a matter of a few months. And the problem got worse and worse, and it was months, and there hadn't been any rain. So a preacher in the village decided to have a prayer service and pray for rain. So he invited everyone in the village to come to the church for this prayer service. And most of the people came. And the preacher stood at the door and welcomed them as they came in. He greeted them, and they all went down and sat down inside and waited for the service to begin. And the preacher walked up to the front of the auditorium, and he turned around, and he noticed that the villagers were all catching up with each other and socializing because they were all together, and they were talking about this and that. And suddenly his attention was drawn to a little girl sitting on the front row. She was 11 years old, and she had a big, bright smile on her face. And she was excited. And next to her in the pew was a massive, gigantic umbrella that was open. And this umbrella was bigger than she was. And the preacher looked at the girl, and it made him smile as he saw the faith she possessed. No one else in that church building had brought an umbrella. The preacher said to himself, "Everyone here came to pray for rain, but only this little girl came expecting God to answer." Are you bringing umbrellas to your prayer lives today? When you seek God, are you looking for the answer? Do you believe his promises that he hears you? Do you believe his promises that he wants to do good for you? You know, we may not always get the answer we want. Many times we don't. In fact, sometimes we get the opposite answer. Or sometimes we may not even realize the answer for a really long time. But you know what? God always answers. And God always answers in his time. Are we bringing umbrellas to those prayers for rain? Do we believe it or not? That's the question. Is your faith in word only? Or do we have a faith that leads us to be obedient to God? Are you a Christian? You know, God's word is very clear, and it tells us the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to give you an eternal life with him. He wants to cover your sins. He wants to be your advocate with God the Father. And when you come to him, you can live a life with the hope of an eternal life. Through baptism, after you repent, you come in contact with his blood. And that blood washes you from all unrighteousness. It purifies you. And it's in there, in that water, that you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. That when you come up out of that water, you are a brand new person, even though you might be old. You're brand new in the sight of God. And you're saved for eternity as long as you are faithful. If you've not taken that step, do that today. Don't wait another moment. This world promises us so much, and many of the world's promises are empty. But this world does not promise us time, church. We believe we have plenty of time. That's a lie. We may, but we may not. Don't let another day go past without you being a child of God. Don't let another day pass without you being a Christian. If there's any way we can help you this morning, we'd love to do that. If you're here and you have another need, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've fallen away and you've lost sight of what it means to have a hope and a faith in God, we're here to pray with you. We're here to talk to you one-on-one, or you can come and talk to us. We want to be here to help each other wherever we're needed. That's what family does. We're not just here to dress up and come to church and sing songs. We're here to help each other, encourage each other, and love each other. So if you have a need, please come now as we stand and sing.